goody, goody jello pudding tonight. It tastes like grandma's only mortal.
You ain't kidding, that's right.
And just as jello, six delicious locked in flavors can't be beaten. So the proof of jello pudding's in the eating.
The Jell-O twins are hard to find, but keep on looking in your store. When sugar shortages are over, there'll be more.
Just a taste of Jell-O pudding or of Jell-O, and you know it's the one and only J-E-L-L-O.
Coffee
and Bird's Eye Frosted Food
bring you a special full hour program
starring George Burns and Gracie Allen,
Charles Boyer,
Francis Langford,
Robert Emmett Dolan,
Meredith Wilson,
Mel Blanc,
and those two brilliant stars of stage, screen, radio, and television, Bill Goodwin
and Harry Von Zell.
For your listening pleasure, we invite you to enjoy the fun of George and Gracie, the romantic charm of Charles Boyer, and the songs of Francis Langford. And for your eating pleasure, we invite you to enjoy Bird's Eye Frosted Foods, the only frosted foods that give you Bird's Eye top quality. Bird's Eye fresh from the garden flavor.
And for your coffee drinking pleasure, of course, it's Maxwell House, that skillful blend of choice Latin American coffees that's bought and enjoyed by more people than any other brand of coffee in the world.
With our own Dinah Shore still a victim of laryngitis, here is the star who is so graciously pinch-hitting for her, the lovely and lyrical Frances Langford.
You belong to my heart, now and forever, and our love had its start not long ago. We were gathered played our love song. When you said I love you, every beat of my heart said it too. 'Twas a moment like this. Do you remember? And your eyes threw a kiss when they met mine. Now stars are still playing. Darling, you are the song, and you'll always belong to my heart. Solamente una vez, amén la vida. Solamente una vez.
It was so sweet of you to sing for Dinah this way.
It's a pleasure to do it, Gracie. By the way, how is Dinah?
Oh, much better, Frances. She'll be back next week completely recovered from the laryngitis. As a matter of fact, she wanted to be in our play tonight and do a love scene with Charles Boyer.
She wanted to do a love scene with Charles Boyer when she has laryngitis?
Well, sure. She only lost her voice, not her mind.
Oh, I see what you mean. But tell me more about this play you're going to do tonight.
Oh, well, my club, the Beverly Hills Uplift Society, is giving it. And the play is called The Folly of Molly O'Malley. And I play Molly.
And just what is her folly?
She runs away with Charles Boyer. Some folly, huh?
Lucky you, Gracie. I wish I were playing Molly.
Oh, you wouldn't enjoy it, Francis. After all, you're married to John Hall. He's quite a hunk of man.
Well, you're married to George Burns. He's quite a hunk of... I guess you're the one for the part after all.
Thank you, Francis.
You were certainly lucky to get a leading man like Charles Boyer.
Oh, yes. Isn't he wonderful? Mm. You know, I don't see how we can say that France owes us $4 billion when they send us collateral like that.
I agree, Daisy.
Yeah. Every time he looks at me, he knocks $1 million off that debt. You know, I had a dream about him last night.
Really?
Mm-hmm. When I woke up, we owed France $4
billion. Well, how did you happen to dream about Boyer, Gracie?
Well, you see, as George and I were getting ready for bed last night, we were discussing the play. And naturally, I was excited about playing opposite Mr. Boyer, so I couldn't go to sleep. And finally, George...
Gracie, will you please turn out the light and go to sleep? You've done nothing but talk about that play you're going to do tomorrow with Boyer.
Well, any actress would do the same, George. When an actress plays opposite Boyer, it's the peak of her career. The biggest thing she'll ever do. It's like a dancer dancing with Fred Astaire. Or a masseuse massaging Sidney Greenstreet.
All right, so he's a fine actor. But what's the personal appeal?
Well, now, in the first place, he's a Frenchman, and there's something about Frenchmen that's different from other men. They're so French.
Yeah, you couldn't say that about a Swede.
No.
Now, go to sleep, Gracie.
Yes, dear. Charles Boyer. Tomorrow I'll be made love to by the master. I feel just like a drum that sees Gene Krupa reaching for it.
Well, I guess I better take a blanket and go in the living room. I guess you're sorry you married me.
Oh, darling, have I said anything to hurt you? I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all right.
Oh, but I didn't mean it, darling.
Oh, it's... Doesn't matter. Forget it.
Oh, I wish I could just cut my tongue out. Forgive me, sweetheart.
Oh, forget it. It's nothing. Let's go to sleep.
Oh, believe me, George, you've got something Charles Boyer hasn't got.
Okay, go to sleep.
I can't now. I'll be awake all night trying to think what it is.
Gracie, if you don't stop talking about Charles Boyer, you're going to dream about him. Now go to sleep.
Oh, yes, dear. But I want you to know that your name is the only one that really stays in my mind. The only man I could ever dream about is my husband, George Boyer. Yeah, I mean, Charlie Burns.
Charlie Burns, yes, I got a new name. Good night, dear, and call me Spunky.
Good night, dear.
Oh, good morning, my darling wife.
Good morning, George.
Why are you staring at me, Gracie?
Well, you look so cute this morning.
I do?
Yes. In fact, better than you did when I married you.
Oh, what an adorable child you are. Come, let me give you a great big kiss.
Do that again, George.
Most gladly.
You are George, aren't you?
But of course, my beloved. And to prove it, here is another great big kiss.
George, do you have any identification on you?
What's come over you, Gracie? You've never been this way before.
Neither have you.
Oh. My little one is upset. Now sit down, and I will bring you your breakfast.
You bring me my breakfast?
Yes, to wait on you is my greatest joy. The one thing that makes me happy.
You must have been miserable for years.
With you? Never. Now, after breakfast, I will wash the dishes and you will go shopping.
What a change has come over you.
Here's $1,000 to spend.
$1,000?
Make it $2,000.
Oh, this isn't a change. This is reconversion.
It's a pleasure to do things for you, my dear. You are so beautiful.
Oh, George.
So alluring.
Oh, George.
So young.
Oh, George.
So irresistible.
Oh, George. Oh, George. Oh, George. Oh, George.
Huh? What's the matter?
Oh, George.
Gracie.
Oh, I had a dream, George. A dream in which you looked just like Charles Boyer. It was terrible.
It was?
Yeah, it was so short.
A fine thing, my wife dreaming about a man.
Yes, I am ashamed. I don't want to dream about a man. I want to dream about you.
Go to sleep. Gracie, what's the matter with you? You haven't touched your breakfast.
Oh, I can't eat it, George. It's too much like Charles Boyer.
Your breakfast is like Boyer?
Yes, now take that grapefruit, for instance. It reminds me of his high, intelligent forehead.
Oh, sure, sure.
And those wonderful eyes of his. I think of them whenever I look at those two fried eggs.
I suppose even the coffee reminds you of Boyer.
Uh-huh, there's steam coming from it.
Oh, well, stop mooning about the guy. Remember, I'm in this play of yours, too.
Oh, of course you are, darling. And it's a very important part. After all, you're the Irish policeman who arrests the jewel thief.
You bet, Begorra.
Mm-hmm. And not only
that's
that...
That's Irish stuff.
Yeah, I know. Not only that, you hold Mr. Boyer's script during a love scene.
I hold a script?
Yes.
What does he hold? By the way, why haven't we had any rehearsals for this play?
Well, Mr. Boyer has been out of town.
Too. Mm-hmm. He's been out of town?
Mm-hmm.
Then, how do you know he's even going to appear?
Oh, don't worry about that. We girls of the Beverly Hills Uplift Society made him an offer that no man in his right mind could refuse. I'll get it, dear.
Good morning, Mrs. Byrne.
Postman, hello. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm simply bursting with health and happiness. But then May is always a happy month for me. You see, my wedding anniversary is in May.
Oh, and that makes you happy.
Oh, yes. I look at my wife and think, well, there's another year of that I won't have to go through again. Here's your mail, Mrs. Burns. Just one letter.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Oh, look. It's from Charles Boyer. Charles Boyer.
He really sends you, doesn't he?
Oh, I'll say he sends me. What a delightful trip.
Oh, your whimsical expressions make me laugh.
This is probably Mr. Boyer's letter of acceptance.
Acceptance?
Yes, you see, the Beverly Hills Uplift Society is giving a play tonight, and we offered him the lead. We enclosed a check for every penny in our treasury. All the dues we've collected for the last 9 years.
My goodness, even Mr. Boyer should like that.
Oh, yes, let's see what he sent. Beverly Hills Uplift Society, Mrs. Burns, President, dear madam. Thank you for your generous offer, but I find it impossible to appear in your play. Therefore, I am returning your check for $3.80. Oh, Mr. Postman, this is awful.
I sympathize deeply, Mrs. Burns.
Well, what are we going to do? Our play goes on tonight and we have no leading man.
I would offer to take Mr. Boyer's place, but I fear the audience would know the difference the moment I spoke.
Yes.
Yes. I have a gold tooth in front.
Oh. Well, I guess you can't help me, Mr. Postman.
I'm afraid not. There would be actresses involved, and my wife is terribly jealous of actresses. Last week at the movies, she saw me smile at Greer Garson, and it cost me an extra 50 cents.
An extra 50 cents?
We were in the balcony, and she threw me over the rail into an orchestra seat. And besides, I couldn't be in the play tonight. I'll be tied up at home.
Oh, I see.
It's my wife's night out, and she always ties me up before she leaves. Well, goodbye, Mrs. Burns. Remember, keep smiling.
Who was it, Dale?
Oh, the postman, and he brought the most terrible news. Charles Boyer doesn't want to do our play.
No.
Poor man, he must have gone crazy. This play would have made him a big star.
Yes, he might have become better known than Sabu, the elephant boy.
Well, I'll just have to go around to all the girls in the Beverly Hills Uplift Society and collect a special assessment.
What for?
Well, so we can offer Mr. Boyer more money. I guess $3.80 was a ridiculous offer to make to a star like him.
I should say it was.
Oh, I'll bet he'll change his tune when we raise it to $5.
I don't know. That'll put him in a mighty high bracket.
Mm. You know, his prices certainly have come up since Germany surrendered.
Prices have come up?
I should say. During the war, he was free French. Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye, dear. Come in.
Hiya, George.
Oh, hello, Bill.
You know my friend Harry Von Zell.
Sure, hello, Harry.
Hello, George. Say, Bill and I just heard the news about Boyer not being on the show. Is it true?
I'm afraid it is, fellas.
Well, you got nothing to worry about, George. Harry and I will take over the whole program.
Just the two of you?
Yeah, well, certainly. We're going to pack a whole day in radio into that 1 hour, George. Yep. Serial, drama, comedy, quiz, everything.
Yeah, sit down at the piano, Harry. Let's show George how it'll go. First, a daytime serial. Presenting the story of Ma Von Zell. A lovable old lady who might live in the house right next to you. Or the apartment next to you. Or, the way things are now, the tree next to you. When we last looked in on Ma Von Zell, she was having a wee mite of trouble. The flooded river was almost up to her windows. And the dampness caused twinges in her broken leg. Her cries for help were drowned out by the avalanche which was roaring down the mountain upon her home. Then, too, her arms ached from trying to defend herself from mean old Squire Perkins, who was beating her with her youngest son, Fred. But then, just when things looked darkest, Squire Perkins was forced to flee. The house caught on fire. Let's look in on Ma.
Son.
Yes, Ma.
It's getting kind of warm in here.
Yes, Ma.
Reckon it's cause the house is a-burning?
I reckon, Ma.
Son.
Yes, Ma.
I'm scared.
Why, Ma?
I'm scared the fire will defrost my bird's eye frosted food.
Now, wait a minute, you guys. What kind of a program is that?
Well, gosh, George, didn't that break your heart? Wouldn't it be terrible if Ma's bird's eye frosted foods would be burned up? Why, bird's eye is the top quality frosted food, the better buy in frosted foods. That's why you should always make sure that each and every package of frosted foods you buy says bird's eye clear as anything on the label. There are many brands of frosted foods, you know, but there's only one bird's eye.
You tell him, Ma.
I will, son. And only bird's eye gives you bird's eye top quality and garden fresh flavor all the time. For every bird's eye food is grown, cared for, and prepared, really babied along every step of the way so that it comes to you perfect. So honestly, if you want the better buy in frosted foods, insist on the name bird's eye on the package.
Now look, you two, there'll be no daytime cereals.
Well, now we come to the quiz program.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, folks. This is your affable, laughable quizmaster, Dr. IQ Goodwin. And here's our first contestant. Well, 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 you're a fine, bright, intelligent-looking young man. What's your name, sir?
I can't think of it right now.
Too bad. But you tried hard, so here's $15,000. Now for $30,000, we'll play Who Am I?
Yeah.
I was born in Italy, a favorite of Queen Isabella, and I discovered America in 1492. Who am I?
Winston Churchill?
Well, that's close enough. Here's your $30,000.
Now, just a minute.
No coaching from the audience, please. Now, here's the next one. I am a famous actor and a member of the royal family of the theater. My sister's name is Ethel, and I portray Dr. Gillespie on the screen. Who am I?
Winston Churchill?
No, I'll give you a little hint.
Yeah.
Are you fond of peaches, or do you like berries more?
Oh, I got it. Henry Fonda.
No. The first name is Lionel.
Oh, sure, Lionel Fonda.
That's close enough. You have just won a home in Beverly Hills. Would you care to try for a swimming pool? Here we go. Pay attention now. I am a movie actress, the star of the picture Ecstasy, and considered one of the most beautiful women on the screen. I have raven black hair, gorgeous green eyes, a divine figure, skin like rose petals, and beautiful, luscious red lips. Who am I?
Who cares? Kiss me!
That isn't the right answer, I'm sorry. But you were very sincere, so I award you the city of Fresno, California.
All right.
Just, I haven't come to the grand prize yet.
You got a bigger prize than the city of Fresno?
Well, sure. If he answers the giant jackpot question, he gets a cup of Maxwell House coffee.
Oh, yes. Goes better with donuts than Fresno.
Maxwell House is appetizing, rich, full-bodied, and mellow coffee at its full-flavored best. Good to the last drop. What could be more delicious?
Yeah, Winston Churchill?
This time you're not even close. There's nothing to compare with Maxwell House. Why, more people buy and enjoy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee in the world.
Well, so much for the quiz. Now comes our singing act.
The singing act, yeah.
And now look, boys.
Hello, hello.
Boys, out, out.
Hello, hello.
Goodbye, goodbye. Now here's Francis Langford singing, Oh, What It Seemed to Be.
It was just a neighborhood dance, that's all that it was. But oh, what it seemed to be. It was like a masquerade ball with costumes and all, 'cause you were at the dance with me. It was just a ride on a train, that's all that it was. But oh, what it seemed to be. It was like a trip to the stars, to Venus and Mars, 'cause you were on the train with me. And when I kissed you, darling, was more than just a thrill for me. It was the promise, darling, of the thing that fate had willed for me. It was just a wedding in June, that's all that it was. But oh, what it seemed to be. It was like a royal affair with everyone there, 'cause you said, yes, I do, to me. That's all that it was. But oh,
so soon, Gracie? Did you collect your assessment from the Beverly Hills Uplift Society?
Oh, no. Not one single club member was home. They're all out getting beauty treatments so they look pretty for Charles Boyer.
Without the assessment, you've got no Boyer.
Oh, what are we going to do? Where is there another man living who has the appeal and charm and romance of Charles Boyer? Someone who could hold and handle a part of a Frenchman.
Every little breeze seems to whisper, Louise.
Who can I get? Who?
Bonsoir, madame. Mon ami.
There must be someone who can act.
For France I have lived. Now for France I die.
George, I'm trying to think of an actor. If you don't feel well, go lie down.
I was showing you how charming.
Oh, come in.
Good morning, all. Lovely morning, isn't it?
Oh, no, Meredith, it's a terrible morning. Charles Boyer won't appear in our play, and we have no leading man.
Oh, come now, Gracie, chin up. Fortunately, you have a most capable actor who can step right into the breach.
That's what I've been trying to tell her.
Oh, did you suggest me, too?
You?
Well, have you had dramatic experience, Meredith?
Oh, yes, indeed, Gracie. While attending high school in Mason City, Iowa, I took part in a very successful pageant entitled Fertile Iowa, the Land of Crops.
The Land of Crops, you don't say.
What part did you take?
A large group of fellows appeared as ears of corn. I was the fourth cob from the left.
Well, did the ears of corn have any lines to say?
No, we merely stood there until the east wind, played by Miss Tupper, our physics teacher, came and blew through us.
Then you weren't exactly the star of the show.
No, but the following year, the pageant was repeated, and I won the coveted role of the spirit of insecticide.
There's nothing this boy can't do.
As I came upon the stage, I beheld a sow bug portrayed by Lavinia Burroughs, a president of the sophomore class, gnawing upon the roots of a cabbage, which was in reality her brother Walter. That was a very tense moment.
Oh, yes, it must have been frightening.
In ringing tones, I proclaimed, "Sow bug, you shall never ravage Iowa's tender heads of cabbage." Then I breathed upon Lavinia, and she toppled over in agony.
She must have felt good compared to the audience.
Unfortunately, in an effort to achieve realism, I had swallowed a bottle of citronella before the performance. When I breathed upon Lavinia, the sow bug, her brother Walter, the cabbage, also toppled over.
Oh, that was too bad.
Yes. I fear I caused the sale of insecticide to fall off sharply. Will there be a part for me in the play?
Well, I'm afraid there isn't one that fits your talent.
Uh-huh. Well, if you find one, don't hesitate to call on me. Goodbye, all.
Goodbye, sow bug.
Undoubtedly one of the nicest men who's ever lived.
I'm not so sure he's ever lived.
George, I've decided there's no use trying to replace Charles Boyer. He's the one and only, and I'll just have to get him for our play.
Well, how are you going to do it?
Well, I'll go to his house and appeal to him as a man. Still, I might get further if I appeal to him as a woman, huh?
Could be, yes.
Oh, I know. I'll offer him that stock you bought in the Mad Gopher Gold Mine.
That stock is worthless.
No. And to think you bought 1,000 shares. $2 shot to blazes.
Yeah, I'm a plunger.
George, help me think of something that might persuade Mr. Boyer. What's closest to his heart?
Well, you know he sponsors the French Foundation.
No, really? To look at him, you'd never know he wore one.
Gracie, that's where they put books. They keep hundreds of research books in the French Foundation.
Oh, it must have more stretch than our American kind.
Look, Gracie.
I'll buy a dozen from them. 6 for you and 6 for me.
Gracie, let me explain about the French Foundation.
Stay tuned in, ladies and gentlemen. This special hour program will continue immediately after a pause for station identification. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.